Today on Real Life Radio.
How do you know the New Testament's true? You have not a clue. You don't even know. Unless you know your Old Testament. You have no way of knowing unless you know the Old.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 3 continues his series called The Why Series. You know, as Christians, we all know that truthful answers, they're almost impossible to come by these days, especially if we're looking anywhere else but the Bible. Even the answers to the most complex issues of life, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, are found in the pages of Scripture. But first and foremost, we've got to understand that God is the author of the Bible, and His Word is true because God's character is true. The Bible is both powerful and effective, not only to engage our minds, but to also change our hearts. And although the Bible gives us a moral code to live by, its ultimate purpose is centered around Jesus Christ and how He can transform our lives. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the Bible changes the world one soul at a time. We as followers of Christ are the evidence of a transformed life. Our influence and testimony of why Christianity is true cannot be overstated in a lost and dying world. And now in his message called Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Psalm 34:20. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. John 19:36, 1,000 years later. For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. You should become a Christian right now. Right now. Okay? Just Matthew's gospel alone. Wherever it says that Matthew's gospel, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew is saying, this is from the Old Testament happening now. First slide. Let me show you. Okay, write those down. Take a picture. Listen, I worked hard on this. Take a picture. You're not going to find this anywhere on the planet, ladies and gentlemen. Why you need to become a Christian now? Why does Christianity claim to be the only way, the right way? Because. For example, Matthew 2, verse 6, was first announced in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. You want to see where Hosea 11:1 is fulfilled? Well, then go ahead and read Matthew chapter 2, verse 15. Thousands of years apart, hundreds of years apart. You want to know where Jeremiah 31:15 was fulfilled? Well, you're going to have to read Matthew 2:18. What about Isaiah 40, verse 3? Written down in the Bible, waiting to be fulfilled. Ah, good question. That was fulfilled in Matthew 3:3. You got it? Did you get it? Next slide. This is just Matthew. Just Matthew. Psalm 6, verse 8. David prophesied. When was it fulfilled? Matthew 7:23. What about Malachi 3:1 over there on the right side? Wow, to understand Malachi and that prophecy, you got to look at Matthew 11:10. That's when it was fulfilled. On and on it goes. Next slide. Remember, the issue is, this is every time Matthew said, oh, hey, this is happening because this was from the Old Testament. So on it goes. You see, wow. How do we know Matthew 13:14? Look at that. Matthew chapter 13, verse 14. How do we know if it's true? I love saying this, by the way. It always gets people riled up. How do you know the New Testament's true? You have not a clue. You don't even know. unless you know your Old Testament. You have no way of knowing unless you know the Old. And so, Matthew 13, did I say Matthew 13, 14? It's first announced in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. It's just Matthew's gospel alone. Next slide. You get the point? Go ahead. Little photo op. Yeah, and it's just amazing if you think about it, because if you just read Matthew's gospel by itself, just Matthew's gospel, you're going to encounter somewhere in the vicinity, something north of 105 Old Testament references just in Matthew's gospel alone. And this is neither here nor there, but did you know that Jesus quoted more from the book of Deuteronomy than any other Old Testament book? He loved the book of Deuteronomy. Interesting. In Matthew 22, verse 37, well, the promise of that one was Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. On and on it goes. Next slide. Matthew chapter 27, verse 43. Ah, when Jesus is there on the cross and he's crying out. Psalm 22. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My tongue cleaves to my jaw. My bones are aching. I'm surrounded by Gentiles. Their mouths open. They gape at me. They spit on me. They say, where is his father? Now, they pierce my hands and my feet. I read Psalm 22 to a general in the Israeli Air Force, commander over Mossad air operations outside of the country of Israel. That would be equal to our CIA air operations. He was in the living room of my house. And we said, let's talk Bible. He had been to church service here, which was cool. You didn't know. He sat right over there. And the first thing out of his mouth was, I can't believe that these people sat and listened to you for 60 minutes. Without moving. He said, in Israel, you can't get a Jew to listen to you for 5 minutes. That's true. They just get up and walk away. And so we're in the living room of my house that day. And he said, I think I know why you believe Jesus is the Messiah. Well, let's talk about it. He goes, okay, but just don't talk to me from the New Testament. That's okay. That's easy. Jesus, the Old Testament's all about him. So anyway, we eventually got to Psalm 22, and they pierced my hands and my feet, and he said, stop. You said you wouldn't read out of the New Testament. Don't do that. I said, I'm not. So then I went to Isaiah 53, and I'm reading. And he said, no, stop. I go, this is Old Testament. And that was it. He was so angry. Oh, not at me. At his rabbis. Furious. He doubted me, and I said, go online. You have your phone? Go online. Read these passages online in Hebrew. Listen, we could go on and on. We'll end with this. I have 5 minutes to end with this. Why does Christianity claim to be right? Because you and I should consider what I would say is the evidentiary influences. Evidentiary. Can you tell that I've been watching the Senate hearings by using the word evidentiary? What's the evidence? Meaning, what evidence is there in the Bible that has an effect on a person, people, culture, nation, or world? What's the evidence? What is the evidence of influence? The Bible claims it influences people, persons, cultures, nations, the world. Bible claims that. Is it true? The Bible says it changes the world. Is that true? How does it do it? Like, just like, I'll give you a clue. How do you eat an elephant? If you wanted to eat one. Exactly. One bite at a time. One soul at a time. God works. Is our God amazing? One person at a time, he works in your life, and eventually he changes the world. That's the evidence. You are the evidence. I'm going to skip a bunch and just end here. You are the evidence. The world needs to see your life. You have a testimony. If you don't have a testimony, I mean this with all benevolence, with all love. If you don't have a testimony about what Jesus Christ has done in your life, you need to really, really, really ask yourself if you're a true Christian. I hope that doesn't come across to you as condemnation. It should come across to you possibly as great encouragement or conviction. But if you can't say, you know what? I used to be just this way, and then my eyes began to open, and then there was a time when finally I realized, wow, and thus and so, and I could look back and say, my life changed. Okay? My wife was born and raised in a Baptist, in a Christian home. Loved the Lord. Real, they were real Christians. They really lived it. She cannot tell you the day she got saved. She remembers a certain time, a certain age when it clicked. She's always believed. But then I come along and I went into a building godless, and 2 hours later walked out of that building washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have the pendulum swings to one side or the other, and you and I will be somewhere in between. Are you with me? And you need to recount that. You need to remember that. You need to start telling people about that. Let them know. You are a treasure. The Bible says the gospel is in you, and God has this treasure within these earthen vessels. Go tell what great things God has done for you. Wasn't the demoniac in Gadara, many of you have been with us to, it's the northeast side of the Sea of Galilee. Jews don't go there today still. There's ancient tombs, old ancient tombs, couple of thousand years old. Jews don't go there because they're still spooked out about it. Only Christians go there. The buses pull up, we get out, woohoo, we're here. And it's just like all these busted up old tombs and grave, and nobody goes there. Why do we go there? Because in Gadara is where the two demoniacs were demon possessed. And the Bible says they were cutting themselves with stones, and they were naked, and they were tormented by demons. And it's an amazing deal. Jesus leaves Tiberias, I think, or Capernaum, it doesn't matter. He leaves the west shore with the guys in a boat, gets right over to the shore of Gadara where the tombs are at. And by the way, they raised pigs there too. See, that's another thing. Jews don't go there. It's Oscar Mayer land. It was considered unclean by the Jews, pig eaters. That's what the pig eaters live there. That's the same location, by the way, when the demons went into the pigs and fell down over the cliff. It's the only place on the Sea of Galilee where there's a cliff. So Jesus pulls up in the boat, steps out of the boat, and one of the guys comes running from the tombs, stark naked, cutting himself, bloody, raving, "We know who you are, Jesus, the Son of God. Have you come to torment us before our time?" And Jesus says, "Who are you?" And he says, "We are legion, for we are many." Now, this is coming out of one guy. And Jesus probably just went just like this and pointed to a herd of swine, probably 2,000 legion, 1,000 or 2,000, I forget the amount of, if you take the word literally, of a legion. And the Bible says the pigs became possessed. The demons left the man. And then the pigs ran over the cliff into the Sea of Galilee. And that type of pig, by the way, when it's the pigs of the Middle East, when they try to swim, now this may be true for all pigs. I'm not a pigologist. I'm just telling you that when those Middle Eastern pigs, the way that they are built, this, as soon as they started to try to swim, they slice their throats right behind the ear, wide open with their hooves. They go like that, died in the water. Demon possessed. That man said, it said that he sat there now healed in his right mind. And he said, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. Let me follow you. And Jesus said, nope. No. Can you imagine? He said, no. Go back home and tell the people what great things God has done for you today. And guess what happened? We know that that man went back home. His home was called the Decapolis. And there is a city that is the capital of Decapolis. Decapolis is 10 cities. That's what that means. Opolis, Deca, 10 cities. There was a capital of 10 cities. That capital was Beth Shean. Many of you have been to Beth Shean with us, right? It's one of the most preserved, beautiful Roman ruins in all of Israel. And we learn from the book of Acts later, from that one demon-possessed lunatic who gets saved, goes back to that city, and that city became a Christian stronghold in the Roman Empire. One man, pig eater, possessed, deviled ham, born again man. Let's stand if you would. And I ran out of time to tell you things like how a testimony matters, how a witness matters, your Christian witness. It was a Christian by the name of William Carey who went to India, and God used him to stop and make illegal. I don't know how to say it. Maybe if you're from India, you know, but sata, the burning of a wife when the husband dies, the wife is burned to death or buried with the husband. In Hinduism, when the man dies, the wife has to be buried with him. Or if the man dies, she's burned to death. William Carey, a Christian, went to India and saw that. And he petitioned Parliament and said, that's got to stop. That's barbaric. You think that's good news? What about William Wilberforce? The man who fought all his life in England to abolish slavery in England. You think that's a good idea? Yes. He did it because he was a Christian. Do you really know? Do you honestly really know who Thomas Jefferson really was? Have you read all of his mail? You can, you know. Did you know that he and Benjamin Rush and John Adams, all of them at that time of their lives professing believers in God. That's true. Thomas Jefferson had a Bible made for the slaves that was just the words of Jesus, and he had them published and distributed as a tract. Did you know that? You go to the National Park Service and they'll tell you that Thomas Jefferson didn't believe in the Bible because he cut it all up and made one for himself. They lie to you. I'm a Christian and stuff, but my uncle and I, we almost got in a fist fight with a park ranger over this at the National Monument. It was a total lie. Did you know that John Adams wouldn't own a slave? Jefferson had slaves. He inherited them. Do you know what he did? He taught them, he had them learn how to read and write from the Bible. And the King of England said, that's illegal. And anybody doing that to a slave is going to be hung. Jefferson said, I could go on and on about how a Christian testimony, because the word of God is true, Christianity is real, that people risk life and limb for the betterment of other people. Here's a book. It's fun to read. It's fascinating. You ought to get it. Highly recommend it. It's called The Pirate Coast. Thomas Jefferson, the First Marines, and the Secret Mission of 1805. You ought to read that book. Find out where slavery came from. You talk about Europe and America having slaves. Where'd they get them from? We bought them from Muslims. Muslims went down into Africa and caged and captured black Africans and sold them to the European American slave market. Thomas Jefferson said, not on my watch. So I'm gonna just be quiet, read the book. It's the birth of the United States Marine Corps, by the way. Five guys. Six guys given 8,000 bucks, land and deployed in Alexandria, Egypt, and they walk to Algiers and they go to war, covert, to free European, American, and black slaves. You know, when's the last time you heard that in school? The point tonight is your Christian witness matters, okay? That's why we're Christians. He's transformed our lives from the inside up. He's taken us out of us and he's put him inside of us. And that's who we live for. And we're happy to do so. Father, thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, thank you that right now, no matter where we might be, no matter who we might be, we could say, Lord, I want you to transform my life right here, right now. I am done with me. I'm a sinner. I need the Savior. I'm lost. I want to be found. I have no purpose. I want to have a calling. I believe, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross exactly as the prophet said, and that you rose again from the dead exactly as they said, and that I put my faith in you and you alone. If we're Christians tonight, may we be galvanized more boldly than ever before. Time is short. Christ is coming back. Let's occupy till he comes. But by all means, let's be busy about our Father's business. May we hear the trumpet even tonight in our sleep. If not, we wake up tomorrow morning and we let people know what great things God has done in our lives. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 3. Thanks for being with us today. Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life and allows us to logically reason together while looking to God for the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, the Bible is not only the way to know God, it's our best weapon against the evils that we face in this life. And with the Holy Spirit's guidance, God's Word gives us both comfort and encouragement, especially during these chaotic and difficult times. That's why when it comes to reading the Bible, it's always best to have a plan. And that is where we come in. Simply download the Real Life mobile app onto your smartphone or tablet and go to the Bible Plus plan. Now, once you're there, you'll find a daily Bible reading plan. Now, in that plan, you can start at the beginning in Genesis, select a verse, or skip ahead. You can also read along with the audio version for better understanding. It's all right there on the Jack Hibbs Real Life mobile app. You can access the app through the App Store, or we've made the app available for download at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.